Amen. Amen. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this time in the Word of God. We thank you for this awesome church. We thank you for the anointing that's here and on me in these lips of clay, that I speak forth your word with excellence, accuracy, and boldness. Thank you for thinking through my mind, speaking through my lips, and this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. And Father, we thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles confirming the word preached. Now we give you all the praise. Lord Jesus, we love you, thank you, bless you, and honor you in Jesus' name. Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.
Take your seats, please. All right, I'd like you to open your Bibles, please. Let's go over to Psalm chapter 115. Psalm chapter 115. What I'm going to talk about today is a message for grown folk. And we're going to read this first scripture. And then after that, I'm going to let you take your seats because I'm going to go through a number of scriptures. But this is a foundation text. And if God says the same, this is what we'll be building our thinking around for the next couple of days. It's Psalm 115 and verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth has he given to the children of men. The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Take your seats, please. Now, you know, along with being a preacher, I'm a teacher. So we're going to learn some things here. We're going to get into this thing and learn some things here. This man came and told this preacher. He said, "Preacher," she said, "Preacher," she said, "you know, you preach a lot of things that I didn't know, and you really, really cleaned out some cobwebs there tonight." He said, "Well, sister, come on back tomorrow night. We're going to kill that spider. And don't miss tomorrow night, because we got some spiders to kill here." Amen. Well, like the bishop says, you know, we have this kind of weather all the time. And I see where they get the term fair weather Christians. But but that's not here. Praise the Lord. Thank God for it. All right, let's look at this. I've got some notes here, and I'm going to finish on time. And I want to call this particular teaching, and if he leads me to tomorrow night, I've got several things I've brought down to teach on. But I just want to be led by the Lord. It's called Taking Ownership. Taking Ownership. Now, I'll read this again. He said, "The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men." Now, this ownership thing is something real big, in my opinion. We have a school called the Joseph Business School, and we are putting that school up in the nations. We have known it 4 or 5 continents now that the schools are in. And we have people graduating from, just closed out a graduation both in London and in Hyderabad, India. And now what we're doing with that is we're raising up entrepreneurs. And these are believers. These are Christian entrepreneurs. But they are being launched for that. A lot of times people feel that a calling is only from the pulpit. That's not true. An entrepreneurship is a calling. And people are called to entrepreneurship. God gifts you for that. The word entrepreneur is a French word. It just merely means someone who creates something new. And a lot of times in the places that you have poverty and lack and nations that there's a great deficit of material things and people are living on a very low standard of living, it's because the entrepreneurs haven't taken their place. You see plenty of churches. You got in Chicago, there was one place in Chicago for 8 blocks, they had 114 churches. So you got plenty of churches. Why are people still shooting each other? Why are they still illiterate? Why are they still poor? So forth. So we're impacting some of that. We're going to the root of this thing and raising up these entrepreneurs. Now, like I said, entrepreneurship is a calling. And God raised them up because an entrepreneur, again, is someone who creates something new. A lot of times what happens, even in cities where you have a budget deficit, you have people fighting over the same slice of pie, trying to get the same slice. The budget isn't but so big, and he needs this and this in Chicago, this alderman wants this and so forth, fighting over that same slice. Well, an entrepreneur's job is to enlarge the pie. See, there'll be more than enough. And when that's not happening and there's no emphasis on training up and sending out entrepreneurs, they don't create anything new. So you're trying to live off of yesterday's fruit. And it doesn't work, folks. It's getting worse. And so what we do is we think of things that man thinks, well, let's put up another riverboat, let's put up another this or that, and you'll find that that doesn't do it. I remember when they were putting up toll bridges, because we had toll roads, of course. You had to go through and pay your toll. They said, this is only going to last for 10 years. That was 30 years ago. So it doesn't work. What you got to do is come back to order. You got to come back to God's plan. Amen. So I'll be coming out with a book called Kings and Priests. Now that's going to be in there. Now, let's look at this. Ownership, because I know something about this. This particular scripture, I want to get this scripture in your mind and get you to see it a different way. I remember when I was in my car, this couple of months ago, and I was sitting in the driver's seat and the car was running and I had to get something out of the glove compartment. And my car has a presentation on it in the center console, and there's a presentation there. And I leaned over to get something out of the glove compartment and the presentation disappeared. And I came back in my seat and it was there again. I said, wait a minute. I leaned over again and looked at it from the center, it disappeared. And I came back in my seat, it was there again. So I said, now that's a revelation. And I looked at that and began to think about the gospel. Because what has happened many times is we preached a futuristic theology. And that is, when we all get to heaven, come on now, we'll sing and shout the victory. Well, you can sing and shout it right now. And what I'm saying is sometimes we put what is for us here, we put it off into the future. As a matter of fact, when we get to heaven. And what we didn't know is that when Jesus came to preach, most of his preaching, or 90% of it, was not about us going to heaven. It was about bringing heaven down to earth. He said, pray this way, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, come on, in earth as it is in heaven. He's talking about bringing heaven right here. He's talking about no sickness right, come on, right here. He's talking about no sadness right here. So, your outlook is based on what you're looking out from. And if you're looking out from the wrong place, you can see the wrong thing. And tonight, or today, and tomorrow night, and the next night, we're going to be shifting some paradigms. We're going to make it so that what you didn't see, you're going to see now. And whatever you've been dealing with, this is the last week you're going to deal with it. Glory to God. All right. Amen, amen. As we look at this, we want to shift our paradigm. We want to get a bigger picture than just getting born again. Thank God for being born again. I said, thank God for being born again. But there's another scripture over there in Psalm 103 and verse 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Glory to God. And forget not all his benefits. You know, I was one time, you know, getting some barbecue. And I was over there, you know, in the hood, in the zip code. And they had some good barbecue over there. Not I don't eat pork, chicken. And so this lady went up to the window, got her order, and it was just a little place with a little window, you know, and so forth. And she got her order. And then she came, turned away, and looked in the bag and so forth. And looked down there, and she said, well, wait a minute, and pushed everybody aside. Excuse me, sir. And he said, yeah. I'm going to say it like she said it, okay? Do bread come with this? You see what I'm saying? I'm saying, wait a minute, you got saved, but do healing come with this? Come on, you got saved, but do my kids come with this? You got saved, but I want to know, do a good job come with this? And it does come with this. And I'm saying what we've done is we've come out of bondage, and thank God for that. But this is what God told Moses, tell the people this. He said, now Satan is a deceiver, and his plan is not to let you go, but he will let you go. And he's gonna let you go, and when you come out, you are not gonna come out empty. I said, you are not. No, you're not coming out empty. You see, God knows that you got some stuff there. I said, you got some stuff there that he's supposed to give you. If you look at the Emancipation Proclamation, oh, they freed the slaves, but they freed them and they were penniless. They were jobless. They gave them no tools. They gave them nothing. They just let them go. Well, see, that's not the way the deal is supposed to work. Your redemption is not complete without divine provision. I'm saying this week, we're going to get the rest of your stuff. The president, even at that time, vetoed the 40 acres and a mule. Vetoed it. So I said, okay, for that, I'm going to get $40 million and a jet. Glory to God. Your stuff is coming home. No. Sit down. We got to finish up. Y'all got me preaching here now. We got the devil where we want him now. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If a thief be found, I said, if a thief be found. Ow! No, folks. It's not the way it's supposed to happen. Not in the kingdom. Not in the kingdom. You're supposed to come out to get, with your born-again experience. You're supposed to get healing. You're supposed to get your debts canceled. Come on now, all this is a part of Jubilee. And this is legal. I'm going to show it to you in the book. Now, do you get the understanding? Do bread come with this? Yeah, praise God, it comes with it. That lady looked in that bag and saw she'd been cheated out of something. And I want my stuff, and I want it. All right. Okay, now let's learn something. Let's put this thing, make it so that you can get it. Glory to God. All right. Now, the heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Now, just please, just stay with me because I want to take you on a journey. But I got to teach you something now. The Bible talks about that God has reserved better things for us. It's going to be better revelation because it's going to be better manifestations. Okay. Now, so let's go back to Genesis in chapter 1. Well, you can preach up here, man. There ain't nothing but a preaching anointing up here in this pulpit. Boy, I'm telling you. Lord. Okay. Now that's why I encourage you to come out all the two nights that I'm going to be here. Because we're going to build on this same thing. And the church and the services that we have is kind of a resurrection center. It's that I sow the word. And the word comes alive in you. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. And it can do it overnight, because you know it can do it overnight, because over there in Numbers chapter 13, you remember what happened. The 12 spies came back from spying out the land of Canaan. And when they came back, the Bible says 10 of them gave what kind of report? An evil report. Now notice, they sowed a word. None of the children of Israel saw the giants. The people just came back and talked about the land. And when they talked about the land, let's call them preachers. They went and got a word. But when they got their word and came back and sowed it into the people, notice about what the Bible says, the people wept that night. Not only did they weep that night, they got up the next morning and wanted to stone Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb. Now notice, the word was working inside of them overnight. Well, if it can work in the negative overnight, it can work in the positive. Come on. I said you'll never be broke another day in your life. I said it, now receive it. All right. Let's just look at this. This is God. God is creating this earth. He said in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So here's a revelation of that verse. You have dominion over creeps. All right? Now that's just a little something there, just a little humor. Okay? Now, let's look at this. Let them have dominion. Now, like I said, I got to teach you something now. Let them have dominion. All right, them. Let them have dominion. All right, let's look at let them. Now, I'm going to take my watch off. We just playing. I'm going to take my watch off, and I'm going to give it to him. Okay? Now, who has the watch? He does. Who does not have the watch? All right, just think of our foundation scripture now. Heavens, even the heavens of the Lord, but the earth has he given to the children of men. All right? So who has the watch now? He does. Now, next week, I think about, there's a dinner party I want to go to, and man, I'd like to wear that watch. My goodness. Now, what am I going to have to do if I want to wear that watch? I'm going to have to ask his permission for a watch because I gave it to him. Say amen to that. I'm talking about for God to get in this earth and do anything he'd like to do, he's going to have to ask somebody. Somebody's going to have to allow him to come in here. And that's why he wants you to pray, because prayer opens up the door for God to come in here and do what he's always wanted to do. Now give God a shout for it. Thank you, sir. All right. We'll let them have dominion. So people say, well, you know, God has this earth down here, and they start complaining about it and so forth. And I wonder, what is God going to do about this? No. God is saying, what are you going to do about it? Come on, what are you going to do about this and that and the crime, the murders, the illiteracy? What are you going to do about it? See, because he gave it to you. I said he gave it to you. All right, look at verse 28. He said, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now notice what he's doing now. He is saying, God blessed them. Now we're going to talk about that as we move on through these two other lessons. But God blessed them. Blessed. He blessed them. He empowered them. He gave them the same power that he used to create the earth. He gave it to them so that they could continue creation. They was in a spot called Garden, the Garden of Eden. That was a spot. But that spot was not going to be the only spot that was going to look like heaven. They were going to take the blessing on their lives and replenish the earth. The word replenish means to stock with abundance, to recover a form of fullness. It means to perpetually renew and resupply the earth. So mankind was supposed to do that. God put on man what he used to create the earth so that man could continue creation. Say amen to that. So now, he's given mankind dominion. Well, here comes Satan. And Satan comes in chapter 3 of Genesis, and he talks to Eve. And he talks to Eve concerning the things that God has spoken and about what God had designed, how he designed them, how he wanted them to be. And Eve began to listen. And as a result of that, the Bible says she was deceived. Now, she didn't do it on purpose. She was deceived. But Adam was not deceived. Adam could have come up there and said, give me that snake purse. I'm taking that thing back down there to the door. No, he was not deceived. But he let this thing go. As a result of that, the earth fell. Now, what happened? It went over into somebody else's hands. Look what it says in Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 4, please. In Luke chapter 4, I told you I'm going to a few scriptures, but so just hang on, praise God. In Luke chapter 4, he says here in Luke 4 and starting at verse 5, and the devil said, taking him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you in the glory of them, for they have been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus entered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Now notice what Satan did. He took Jesus up to this place and tempted him. He said, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, underline the word kingdoms. And then he said to him, all this power will I give you, underline power will I give you, and the glory, underline glory of them, for they have been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now, if it wasn't his to give, he wouldn't have said it, and it wouldn't have been a valid temptation. But he had it to give. Who gave it to him? Adam gave it to him. Don't ever forget this. I'm going to throw something in there. Just put it in your notes. Satan cannot steal what is covered by faith. Just put that in your notes here. Now, what am I saying? The kingdom, power, and the glory. He's using the same terms that God used in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Notice what's happening. Satan has a system that is a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit system and society. He doesn't have the real thing. He has a counterfeit, and he's deceiving mankind with it. So here is Jesus now, and Jesus comes, and he tries to deceive Jesus. Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, what did Jesus come to do? Jesus came to destroy any and everything that would mock your redemptive testimony. Jesus came that everything Satan stole, Jesus came to get it back. Jesus came to put this earth back into the hands of its rightful ownership. Now, I want you to look at the word dominion, because what I did with that word is I began to look this word up in the Webster 1828 dictionary. And here's what he said. Sovereign or supreme authority, the power of governing or controlling, the power to direct, control, use, or dispose of at pleasure. The word dominion, the power to direct, control, use, or dispose of at pleasure. Adam had dominion. Now, I looked up some words. I began to research some of the fathers in the faith and how they described the word dominion. Here's some of the words they used. One, rulership. Second, lordship. This is dominion now. Thirdly, stewardship. Now, you know what a steward is. Somebody who takes care is a caretaker. Somebody who takes care of somebody else's goods. A man who had one talent, a man who had two talents, another had five talents. One had five talents, double his. One had two talents, double his. One had one talent, buried his. And the master came back and said, "Hey, let's ante up here. What do you got?" And the one, five talents, he said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you rule over much. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." The other one said he had doubled his. But the one who had one said, "I've feared, and I buried mine." And he got fired. So that's why I tell people in business that there's no such thing as non-profit. I said there's no such, the man that got no profit in the Bible got fired. So, as we look at this, so accountable, that's stewardship. But the last word I want you to consider is ownership. And that for you and I to govern this earth, it takes an ownership mentality. Now, this is where we want to take off, right here. You know, people don't think much about this, but I was in preaching in Detroit, and this is 4 or 5 years ago. How many of y'all own your own home? All these hands went up. Then the mortgage crisis hit. How many of y'all own your own home now? Boom. A whole lot of hands didn't go up. What happened? They lost their home. How did they lose it? It went back to the owner. They never owned it. They were making payments. Revelation for you. Jesus didn't die for payments. He died for ownership. Lord have mercy. Now, I want to just get this over to you, because what we're going to be talking about is ownership. And I'm going to show you legally, when you came out of bondage, you were supposed to own something. You were supposed to be the lender, come on, and not the borrower. Come on, I'm going to show you how to get there, because this is not hard. And so what happens? We've kind of been deceived in this word ownership. Now, thank God you're paying mortgages on your home and so forth. But I remember I told you that it's a counterfeit system. that the enemy has people doing things his way. Are you following what I'm saying? But we are born again now. We're supposed to do things God's way. Folks, when Jesus came and preached, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Anybody know what the acceptable year of the Lord is? It's the year of Jubilee. What is the year of Jubilee? Everything goes back to its rightful owners. Say amen to that. Jesus came preaching supernatural debt cancellation. Some of y'all ain't excited about it, but that's because you're still working on it. You're processing it. Now, let's just deal with this a little bit more, because once you get the concept, see, if you believe what I'm preaching, you'll receive what I'm preaching. I said, you remember the man came and Israel was in there, Samaria, they were starving. And he said this, the prophet shows up. He said, tomorrow, about this same time, it's going to be plenty, come on, and it's going to be cheap. Now, I'm putting it in my own words. Well, what happened? Right away, an assistant to the king ran up to him and said, now why, I'm putting it in my own words, why are you telling all these people this? I mean, you're building all this hope up in these people. If God himself would open up heaven and just pour things out, there is no way economically this group of people will change that drastically in 24 hours. The man of God said this, you're gonna see it, but you won't partake of it. You see, God made it this way. If you believe it, it'll work. If you don't, it won't. Say amen. I believe God has given me shopping malls. I believe Kmart, all those people supposed to pay me rent. And I received it. I'm telling you, what do you believe? Come on, y'all. I'm not coming down on them. I'm saying I'm supposed to be the head. I'm supposed to be the lender. Is that right? See, here's the deal. Satan's job is to keep the church depending on his system. Keep the church settling for crumbs. Keep the church, come on, settling for leftovers. Keep the church carnal. Keep them fighting among each other. Keep them arguing about what color the carpet is, when you should be out here owning them buildings downtown Dallas. Sit down, let me finish this. Is somebody catching what I'm talking about? I'm not coming against anybody else. I'm just saying, I just want what rightfully belongs to me. All right, ownership mentality. Stay with me now. So let's say somebody rents a rental car, not anybody in here, but somebody rents a rental car and they drive it for about 3 days. And after 3 days, the needle is on E, it needs some fuel. So they pull up to this gas station and they open up the door. And on the door it says this, put premium only. Stay with me now. They look around, see if anybody from the rental car company is there. And squeeze it off. Now, what do? Put regular in there, because it's a dollar and a quarter difference between one and the other. I want to let you know something. The only reason they'll do that is because they don't own it. Now, I'm going to preach to you today. When somebody has an apartment building, and let's say your apartment building is next to a university and some of the students, you know, rent from your apartment. How many of you know you've got to go over there and check on your property every now and then? Now, I got nothing against the students. I'm telling you, ownership. Now, the enemy's trying to get you not to think in terms of ownership. Why? Because if you don't think that way, he can just come in, take the Bibles out of your school, and then tell you, you just have them in Christian schools. Whoa! Wait a minute! That sounds like negotiation. And that's a typical MO of the devil, because he's a negotiator. When Moses was about to leave with the children of Israel, this is what he said. He said, now you go, but leave the kids here. Another time he said, you go, but leave your cattle here. He tried to negotiate three times. That Satan will try to get you to leave behind something. He said, you can go get saved, but I'm going to keep your healing. He can say, you can go get saved, but I'm going to keep your kids on drugs. You can go get saved, but I'm going to keep... No, no. When Jesus came, he got this whole earth back into your hands. Nothing is supposed to go on in this world without your permission. Is somebody here? Now, I want you to see this. We have kept quiet. We have even put the church and the state on the same level. Talking about a separation between church and state. Like they're on the same level. Honey, if it wasn't for the church, there'd be no state. The church is, according to the book of Joel, is the most powerful institution in the world ever. Do you know how powerful the church is? Folks, you can decree a thing. I said you can decree a thing. In my book that I'm coming out with every king needs a priest. Especially if they have a definable measure of rule. If they drop their foot and it causes a ripple effect throughout the whole city, they need a priest. If they drop their foot and it causes a ripple effect around the nation, he needs a priest. David tried to do it without a priest, but he got in trouble because a priest and king supposed to run together. Everybody needs some kind of spiritual connection. Why? Because even, Lord have mercy, do y'all mind if I say all of this? Do you mind? Folks, I was over in one of the nations in Africa, and it's one of the nations that still has a monarchy, still has a king, queen, so forth. And I went in there, African nation, to see the king. Went into the royal, as I was going into the royal court, there was a witch doctor right by the door shaking beads at me. Now, it didn't bother me because no witchcraft can touch me. Come on. And it can't touch you. So shaking beads at me. What is happening? Now, this was a formal part of the king's rule, because the king knew through his wisdom of people who don't even know Jehovah God that there is a grace that they don't have. They know that there is a place. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, God will do nothing
except he first reveal it to his servants, the prophets. He didn't say it to his servants, the kings. Kings are anybody in the marketplace. Could be business leaders, could be people in education. Everybody needs a priest. Folks, oh Lord have mercy. Is everybody with me so far? All right, let me give you another example. Here's my mother. I was a little boy about second grade. And here I was. Now let me just add this one thing to that. The more rule that a king gets, the more important it is for him to have a spiritual connection. Or her, whoever it is. I'm gonna just leave it right there. All right, so what happened? Here I am, second grade, I'm putting on my pants. About to go to school in the morning. And I'm putting them on the way and putting on my pants. And I got my pants on. And my mother saw me pull my pants up. She said, no, baby, take those, get your pants off. Let mommy give you some more underwear. I said, underwear? I said, mama, I don't need any more underwear. I pull my pants up. She says, get those pants off, boy. And you know how mama's out. And I got them off. And she gave me some more underwear. I said, mama, what's wrong with those underwear? She said, baby, that pair of underwear had a hole in it. I said, oh, mama, that's all right. I got my pants on. Can't nobody see it. Watch this. No, you might go out there today. Come on, somebody in here, been there. No, you might go out there today and something happened to you. And they have to take you over to Johnny Andrew Hospital and they put you on that gurney and pull your pants down and see that hole in your underwear and say, oh my Lord, this Miss Winston's child. Taking ownership over your own reputation. Everything is ownership. And he's tried to talk us out of it. Tried to leave us out there. I'll give you another example. Everywhere you go as a kingdom citizen, you have jurisdiction. Now you may not know that, but that's why I got to teach on the kingdom, because you do have jurisdiction. You got something to say about what goes on in your community. Say amen to that. You can pray to God and God will move in your community based on your prayer. So what did this lady do? When we first came to Chicago with $200. That's why you don't even be moved by how much you use, how much you have when you first start out. Because the Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 8 and verse 7, though your beginning be small, your latter end shall greatly increase. Say amen to that. Amen. And so what happened? We had this little storefront church. I mean, it was storefront too. I mean, when the trucks came along, it drowned out our sound system. You couldn't hear anybody till the truck moved. And it was just something. But we were glad to be in service. And so here we were ministering. One day we were in there praying. And as we praying, a lady broke in the door. Where's the pastor? I said, I'm the pastor. I need to see you. I said, lady, you see me now. What's up here? That was a rough section, too. That was one of the roughest sections in Chicago. And she said, those drug dealers have taken over my block. They come out at 12 noon and they leave at 12 midnight, selling drugs right in the street, all up and down the block. And people come from all over coming to get drugs. Our kids can't go play. The neighbors are terrorized. And I need your help. Now, remember what I told you. When God sends you to a place, come on, even your job, you are not employed, you're being deployed. What happened? I said, lady, get in this circle. Let's pray. She got in the circle, began to pray. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the natural. Pray. What am I doing? I'm communicating with headquarters. Now, it's a two-way street. Headquarters is going to talk to me. So headquarters talked to me and said, tell her to take that bottle of oil. You bless that oil. Tell her to pour it down the middle of the street. Now, that's all he told me. That's all he told me. Somebody said, that doesn't make sense. He's not trying to make sense. He's making faith. I said, he's not trying to make sense. He's making faith. Watch this. Nowhere in that Bible did logic ever produce a miracle. Nowhere did human logic ever produce one. Find it. So what happened? I told her. I said, God told me to tell you, take this bottle of oil, I'm going to bless it, and tell you to pour it down the middle of the street. Well, give it here. Well, see, when you're desperate, let me come over here. When you're desperate, some of y'all need to get a little desperate for God. Come on now. Sometimes we too relax. We too, come on, God. Yeah, oh yeah. She got desperate. That lady got that oil. She went to her neighborhood, started at one end of that block, saw that oil dripping, cause a little dab will do ya. When it starts dripping, she took that oil and went all the way down that block. She came back in about 5 days, knocked the door open. She said, Pastor, guess what? Well, I knew what, cause the word will not return for it. Folks, all you need is one word from God. It'll change your block. It'll change your family. It'll change your future. She said, Pastor, guess what? I said, what? She said, they came out the next day for 1 hour, shut down, and never came back. I said, I know they won't come back because the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and it'll add no sorrow. I'm saying because you're hearing this message today, your attitude is shifting right now. You're going from the natural to the supernatural. In fact, this year coming up is going to be your year. Whatever you've been struggling with, I came to announce your struggle is over. You about to have some crazy faith. When the devil thinks he got you and got you all bound up and he got you where you want to, you're going to be in a place, but you're going to come out with your hands up. Praise God. Praise God. And watch the devil let you go. Now sit down. I got to finish this. I said, you coming out with your hands up. You coming out. There's a lady up there in the light green. A man in the light green right there. That's you. Come here. Come here. I'm going to demonstrate what's about to happen to you. I said, I'm going to demonstrate about what. Come on, come on. I ain't got all day. My time is running. No, not you. It's him. It's him. Come on. Come on down here. God told me to tell you, here's $100 because things are about to change in your life, Doc. It's about to change in your life. Your struggle is over. You coming out with your hands up? Woo! All right, sit down. Now, let's go back. Now, let's look at some things. All right, let's go over to Genesis in chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. See there? He did nothing for that. I said he did nothing for that. I said he did nothing for that. It just came. I'm talking about stuff that's been held back from you. Oh, sit down, sit down. Yes, something about to break loose up in here. I said something is about, bread comes with this. Come on now. Inventions come with this. Man, I'm telling you, I'm trying to get back to my notes. All right, sit down. So, look at Genesis chapter 15. Glory to God. Verse 14. The Lord said unto Abram, after Lot was separated from him. Now Lot, they got into strife. And that's what you want to stay out of. I said, you want to stay out of strife. Now notice what happened when he separated from Lot. He said, listen, here's the deal. Lot, let there be no strife between us. Because their herdmen got into strife. You look up the word herdman, Hebrew, you mean shepherd. So they got into strife. So he said, if you want the right hand, I'll take the left. If you want the left hand, come on, I'll take the right. Now, why didn't it make any difference? Because when the blessing is on your life, you can tell them, take the refrigerator. All right, let's finish this. So the Lord has said to Abram, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Watch this. For all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. All right, here's a couple of things I want you to see. He's not talking about seeing with your eyes, because you don't see with your eyes. You see through them. You see with your mind. And as far as you can see, God said, I'm going to give it to you. Now, what am I saying? Until you can see it, you're not entitled to possess it. So this is what we got to do. We got to get your seeing up. I said, we got to get your seeing up because you're designed to believe whatever you see. And when you do see it, we call it revelation, not just information. Adam fell from revelation to information, from learning to discerning. Now you're going and you're being recovered. You're going back to where Adam was in the garden in the beginning. Now I'm saying this to you. Anytime you get a revelation, it will cause a revolution. Now, let me tell you what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about anything naturally violent now. Here's what I'm talking about. Y'all remember a lady named Rosa Parks? She was working in that law office and saw what her rights were. And what did she do? She got on that bus. She sat down there. Am I right about it? Right up there in the front by the driver. And the driver came, Miss, you got to move to the back. I'm not moving. I don't think you understand me. I want you to move to the back. I said, I'm not moving. Now notice what happened. She saw something. And when you see something other folk can't see, you can do something, come on, other folk can't do. Come on, you can go somewhere, come on, other folk can't go. Come on now. You can have something, come on, other folk can't have. So I'm here to tell you today, you're going to get a new revelation of what belongs to you. Healing belongs to you. Satan has no right to put sickness on you. Say amen to that. When that revolution hits you, you start getting loud. Here's a man sitting by the wayside. They called him blind Bartimaeus. But it turned out he wasn't too blind. And notice what he did. Blind Bartimaeus sitting down there, and they said, and Jesus started passing by. Blind Bartimaeus, now he couldn't see with his eyes. He said, who is that? They said, it's Jesus. He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. They said, shh, we're in church, man, this Sunday morning. What did blind Bartimaeus do? Come on. You watch. When you get a revelation of this, nobody can shut you up. I said, until you get your stuff, nobody can shut you up. You talk about calling things that be not as though they were. Come on, not ashamed of the gospel. The Bible says Jesus stopped. And he said, call him. Because faith makes the transfer. Now he said in verse 17, he said that you walk through and out the land. And he said, this land that you see, you go walk on it. But I want to let you know this. Your feet will never take you where your mind has never been. Uh-oh, I'm talking about somebody now. God is about to take your thinking to another level. I said, if you think on another level, you can have things on another level. All right. Now, what belongs to you? That's what I want to know. What belongs on this earth, what belongs to you? All right, let's check it out. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. How y'all doing? You doing okay? Hebrews chapter 1. I told you, I got something for you. You listen to me, and you're not going to be the same. You know, I was talking to my son. I said, son, he said, Dad, you got dragon dictation on your telephone. I said, I don't know, son, because I don't load it up. My IT department loads up. He said, he looked around and said, yeah, you got it. He's a youth pastor. He's preaching there for me today. And he looked, he said, yeah, you got it. He said, you got bump on there? I said, bump. Now, I'm thinking about, you know, I'm old school, you know. Somebody got the bump here. And I said, I don't know. He looked around there. He said, yeah, you got it. He said, watch this. He got something on his phone. Boom, bumped it. What was on his phone transferred to my phone. Today, you being bumped. Ow! Hebrews chapter 1. Sit down. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 1. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed, what? Heir of all things, by whom all things he made the world, whom also he made the world. Now, what is an heir, somebody? Come on, come on. What is an heir? An heir is somebody who inherit something. Am I right about it? What did Jesus inherit according to this scripture? What did he inherit? Come on. All things. Anything left out? No. Everything Jesus inherited. Now, wait a minute. Jesus inherited it. But let's see where you fit in. Turn to Romans chapter 8, please, with your smart self. Come on. Romans chapter 8. Hey. Look what it says in verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs of who? God. And joint heirs with who? Christ. It doesn't mean that he gets 50% and you get 50%. It means that he gets 100 and you get 100. Now, remember what I said. Faith makes the transfer. One more scripture. Let's go to Hebrews and chapter 11, please. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, it's a favorite scripture that you've read so many times, but let's get a new revelation of it. He said in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things, come on, hoped for, the evidence of things, what? Not seen. Well, let's see that same verse in an amplified translation. Is there anybody up there that's got an amplified Bible? Come on down, quick. Here's what he says about that same verse. He said, now faith is the assurance, watch this, the confirmation, the title deed of things you hope for, being the proof of things you do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Notice what it says. Faith, bring it here, sister. Turn to the page. Don't have me turn to it. Look what it said. Faith is not only the assurance. Faith is not only the confirmation, but faith is also the title deed. Say title deed, somebody. Title deed. Where are you coming? You coming with one too? Title, where's the brother that came? Come on down here. You ain't finished with you. Faith. It's the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. So for God to transfer it into your hands, you need to show God the title. I said, you need to show God the title. You show God the title, he'll transfer it into your hands. Now that's anything that you need, and I'll show you that when we get on into the scriptures as we go tomorrow night and the next night. So sister, here's yours. Here's $100 for you. That's yours. Here's $100 for you. Here, brother, there's $100 for you. Now, that's $200. That's $100 for you. All right. Now give God some praise, because money is about to come to you. I'm saying the showers of blessing are about to come on God's people. This is your year. This is your season. This is your moment. Take it right now by faith. Now give God a praise and come out with your hands up. You see, God does not want to bless you so you can just shout how blessed I am. God wants to bless you because he's got nations he needs you to bless. Come on. He's got people in your community that are hurting. He's got children that are illiterate. Come on. He's got orphans he needs you to adopt. I'm saying God is going to bless you so you can be a blessing to the world. Now give God one shout and let's give God praise.